It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? From the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 3, we're going to begin reading with the 20th verse, Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, to the end of the chapter, which is through verse 24, and then we'll begin with the 4th chapter, and we're going to read from verse 1 through verse 5. So if you would find your place at Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, we'll begin reading there in just a moment. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. You could visit us on our website at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time for you to look into your Bibles, open them up, and begin to follow along with me. Read it with me if you would like to. And we will begin Genesis chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 20. Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. The Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Adam knew his wife, Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Let's begin with prayer after the reading of God's precious word. Father, I thank and praise you that we can come together today. Once again, each time we praise you for it. We desire to bring honor and glory to you by learning more of you and being more like you. So please, Lord Jesus, touch our hearts with your precious spirit. Father, thank you for the opportunity to come and that we have to come together, the opportunity to have your word before us that we may read it or at least hear it, listen to it. And Father, help us now as we look through your word that we may properly learn from it. And the only way we can do that is by the leadership of your spirit. Now, Father, please, I ask that all that are listening today, I am sure, are not all saved. Do not know you as their Lord and Savior. You do not know you personally, and you must come by way of the cross, confessing our sin, turning to you, Lord. It's got to begin there. So I ask today as we look through these words that those that do not know you as their Savior, Father, will come today and begin this wonderful walk. Acknowledge you as their Savior and again begin this sweet, wonderful walk. Now guide and lead us as we study your word to learn more of you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look through these verses of Scripture, we find, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. I'd like to take just a minute because it's sure worth repeating. The last couple of times we've been together, we have spent just a little bit of time here. We need to understand that each time to the point of the place that Jesus Christ came to Calvary, every offering that was made, it was made in the purpose to bring honor and glory unto the Lord. The only way we can bring honor and glory unto the Lord is that we may have our sins taken away. In the case here in the Old Testament, those sins were just covered until the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. Then, and then now, during the church age, those sins are taken away. But back at this time, your sin was just covered because there was no blood of an animal or anything that could take sin away. Only the perfect blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can do that. And so they awaited some 4,000 years to the cross before the finished work. But here we have this beautiful example of the cross of Calvary. And as these offerings were made time after time, and as you just listened here, we read the 4th and 5th verse of chapter 4 concerning Abel and Cain bringing their offerings unto the Lord. And we need to understand that there are some, it's God's way. It is not our way. And so we must follow and continue to follow God's way. As we find that Cain very quickly decided to do it his own way, so does man today. They do it their own way, and it's not going to work. You're going to work very hard in church, you're going to serve, and you're going to think, I'm doing everything I can do. And yet, the day you die is the day you're going to wake up and realize that you're in a place of torment awaiting your final home, which is the lake of fire. I don't want that to happen to you. I don't care what is on your church door, on the sign out front of your church. I don't care what that church says and what the title is. I care about your soul, and I want you to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. So let's look carefully here just for a minute, and then we'll get on with the study, because this is review. We've gotten down through the 22nd verse. But I want you to see that it must be God's way. There must be the death involved and the death of a substitute, because you see, the wages of sin is death. Okay, so the cost of sin is death. Someone must die. Now, you can die for your own sin, but it will not take your sin away. You'll just die in your sin. We need someone to take our sin away. And this is God's plan, that this can happen and can take place. And so we must look to God's way. God's way is that it must be an innocent substitute. That substitute must be perfect. That substitute must die. And that substitute must have the shedding of blood through this death. So it is God's work. It's God's gift. It's God's plan. And as we look here in the 21st verse, we will find all of this has taken place. The Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. The Lord's God work is His work, His gift. The Lord God's plan. Adam and Eve had a plan, and it involved some fig leaves. That plan didn't work. God brought before them the proper offering that would cover their sin until Jesus Christ, the seed of Eve, could come and finish this work. But here is the beautiful picture, and here is a work that begins. The coats of skins. So we have the death of an animal, the death here of an innocent offering, an innocent sacrifice. So, it's God's plan. This substitute, this innocent sacrifice, died, have the shedding of blood, and I'm sure it does not list here, but as through all the rest of the Scripture, the offering was to be a perfect offering. In other words, without blemish. The Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate, the perfect sacrifice, the perfect offering. But here, as close as they could tell, as close as they could see, it had to be a perfect offering, a perfect sacrifice. And I'm sure that as the Lord God performed this first offering, this first sacrifice, and clothed them, that this animal, probably a precious sweet lamb, was slain before their eyes, innocent of all the purpose. The purpose was to save man. Innocent of that. Innocent of one sin that this man and woman had committed, and yet still died as a picture of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blood was shed. It's God's plan. We have the substitute. Everything here, this perfect little lamb. And so you've got to see that, because that is the only way you can be saved, is if you will accept God's gift. God's gift of salvation, and that is through and by His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you must come to Him, and by coming to Him, you are turning from your ways. And the only way that you will desire to truly come to Him, mind and heart, come to Him, is if you have repented, turned to Him, and that comes by the drawing of the Holy Spirit. You'll come, you'll confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you will become a child of God, and it'll be a wonderful walk and a wonderful life that you've had set before you now, real life for the first time. This is what happened to Adam and Eve here in the 20th verse. It tells us in verse 21, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothed them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become of one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken." We need to continue now. What fruit? What was gained? You know, we worked so hard. What was gained by Eve taking of the fruit and then followed up with Adam? We read last time Romans chapter 6, verse 21. And I would like to go back to that. It's worth reading again, as all the Scripture is worth looking at over and over again to enjoy its strength and its power over our life. Romans chapter 6, verse 21. "What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." It's the only thing that it gained them was death, the curse, and the ultimate of the curse is death. Are we awakened? Do you realize your condition when you come into the presence of God? In other words, when you go to the Word of God, or you come to church and the Word of God is proclaimed to you, and maybe you've got your Bible open, maybe you don't carry your Bible, but you got one in the pew there, so you opened it up, or you're just listening to the preacher and he's reading the Word of God, and are you all of a sudden, do you realize who you are? You're just a sinful wretch, and you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. Do you realize your condition? Let's go back again to Psalms 83, because Psalms 83 is once again another verse of Scripture that we read last time, but it is necessary to go back and look again. Psalms 83, verse 16, "Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord." When we see who we are, our sinful condition, at the same time, the One, the Holy Spirit, that's showing us our sinful condition, also will show us the Lord Jesus Christ. "Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy face, O Lord." We find now, the Lord God said, "Behold, the man is become of one of us," verse 22, Genesis 3:22. "To know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth." The tree of life, once something that was offered to them, now has become forbidden. To be forbidden is not only for Adam and Eve the proper justice, but it's also kindness. Because you see, they were going to die, or they are in the process of dying. And you know, sometimes we look at death as the last breath we take, the last time our heart beats, the last it's over, death. But death begins actually the very second that you're conceived, because of the death penalty, the sin that we have. It causes us and our bodies to have different diseases. It is not a result always, sometimes it is, but not always a result of some sin that you have committed that has given you some certain disease. Many of the diseases is because of the body being under the curse. Our body is dying. And that's the reason that we find so many cancers and so many things are going on today. And the longer that the time, we are some 6,000 years now from the time we're looking into Adam and Eve. Within that 6,000 years, the body has continued to deteriorate. No matter how successful the doctors become, no matter how hard they work to find the final medicine that will take care of whatever will take care of this cancer or that cancer or whatever it might be, and they have had many accomplishments in their work, but we are still dying, and finally death comes. Death is a talk that's often avoided. Though all in the past have died, yet it's something how that we believe by some miracle or by our proper care of our bodies, as long as we continue to run and eat all the right food, that we're literally going to live forever. Or maybe you just believe that you're going to be one of the lucky ones. Even though everyone in the past has died, you really don't believe that you're going to. And you say, Larry, oh, everybody believes that they're going to die. I don't see how they can. And live the life they live. Ignore the presence and the power of God. Ignore the needed salvation of their soul. If they truly believe they're going to die. I think they believe they're going to live forever, even though everyone in the past has died. We need to face up to the reality that death is certain. And not only is death that day that we take the last breath and our heart beats for the last time, that day is certain, but also we are dying daily. Every day that we live, we are dying. We need Jesus Christ. You need Jesus Christ in your heart. I need Him in my heart. I need life because I am dead and I am in the process. My body is physically dying every day. I don't want to spend eternity in this body because it is dying and it will continue to die. And so, to live in this body eternally will be much like the torment of hell, of the lake of fire. Because the pain and the agony and the suffering will go on day after day after day, as it will if you refuse Jesus Christ, because that is one part of your eternity, is that you will be ever dying and yet never dead. You will continue the pain and the suffering through eternity. So do you understand what the lake of fire is going to be? the pain and the suffering and the heat and always desiring something to drink because you're thirsty. You can't quench your thirst. You have nothing, and you just continue to die through eternity. Yes, you'll face the grave. Your body will go into that grave. But you, as a believer, will also be resurrected, and you'll be joined with your old body. And you and your body, your soul and your body, will spend eternity together. There may be a time of separation as we await. Your soul may have to go into the place of torment, awaiting the final resurrection of the lost. But your body and your soul will be put back together. You think you hurt now, and you have pain now, and you're in agony now. You've seen nothing. I don't care what kind of disease you've suffered, what kind of problems you've had, how many years and days and months that you have spent in the hospital. I don't care, because I guarantee you there is nothing compared with the suffering that's going to be through eternity in the lake of fire. I want you, I beg you, to come by faith to Jesus Christ. We have a way out, and that way out is Jesus Christ. Adam and Eve accepted these coats of skins. They accepted them as the Lord Jesus Christ offered them to them to cover their sin, awaiting the perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ. So as this took place, they accepted that. You must accept God's way of salvation, and that is to come by faith to Jesus Christ, not by any works, but by faith to Jesus Christ. I want you to see that by God taking, sending out, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from, verse 24, so he drove out the man. The reason is because if he would have eaten of this tree of life, there would have been no chance to get out of this body. Now, to a believer, yes, we will die if the Lord Jesus Christ tarries. Our body will be put in the ground, but different than the person that rejects Jesus Christ, ignores the call of God, a person that is saved will immediately now goes into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. His soul will go into the presence of the Lord Jesus, awaiting the resurrection of the saved, which is going to come some 1,007 years prior to the resurrection of the dead, those that reject Jesus Christ. So you see, both are resurrected. Both get placed back into the body. However, the saved receives, as promised in the Word of God, the same Word that speaks of heaven that you so claim that you know and you have, the same Word tells you that there is a resurrection of the dead and a resurrection of the living. The resurrection of the dead are those that reject Jesus Christ as their Savior. The resurrection of the saved are those that have come by faith to Jesus Christ. Those resurrections are 1,007 years apart. And one resurrection, the resurrection of the living, of those that have come by faith to Jesus Christ, will be given a glorified body, a perfect body, to spend eternity in the fellowship of God. But those that reject Jesus Christ will receive their old body, not changed in any way, and they will be cast into the lake of fire. He says, oh, Larry, you know, body's totally blown up. I don't know how God's going to put that body back together, but you will have a body. And you will spend eternity in that body, forever suffering. That's what you have to look forward to if you reject the call of God to come by faith to Jesus Christ. Why did God drive out Adam and Eve from the garden? So that they did not eat of this tree. Because if they ate of this tree of life, as they did the tree, you know, it's changed now. They were forbidden to eat of the fruit of the tree of good and evil, the tree of knowledge. They were forbidden to eat of that tree. They did. Now, before, they could have eaten of the tree of life and should. Now, that has changed. They are forbidden now to eat of the tree of life, because if they would eat of that tree of life, there would be never an opportunity. They would be forever dying in this body. God, and again, in his kindness and his justice, yes, but his kindness, he took them out of the Garden of Eden, and he placed a cherubim, an angel, angels, guarding this, never to be entered again, so that no one can eat of that tree of life, that we may face death. And for the believer, that is a graduation. That is not something to be afraid of, something that we should fear at all. Death to a believer is a time of graduation. We move from here, our soul goes immediately into the presence of God. Our body will lay in that grave, and we really don't care what happens to it, because God has a glorified body for us, and we will receive it at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes to get his church, and that's prior to the beginning of the tribulation. Then we'll have 7 years of tribulation, that those that were not saved will stay here upon this earth, and then the Lord Jesus will come. You find at the end of the seven-year tribulation, we find the battle of Armageddon, and then the Lord Jesus Christ will come, be victorious. He will speak, and victory will come. And upon speaking, and victory will come today. Why victory comes as one is at war with another. Victory will come to one or the other by means of bombs and killing. There will be death, but it will not come from any kind of planes or guns or ships or anything like that. The death will come from God's spoken word. And when he comes to meet his church, he will take all saved out. There'll be a seven-year tribulation, the most awful time you've ever seen upon this earth. And then, at the end of that tribulation period, God will come. And when he comes, he'll plant his feet upon this earth. He will destroy the enemy, and he will stay here upon this earth 1,000 years to rule and to reign. Be a wonderful time upon the earth for that 1,000 years. But that's just going to be the beginning of the wonderful time, because then there will be eternity beyond that 1,000 years to spend with Jesus, if you know him as your personal Savior. Please, that you look at death as a graduation, because even believers are still dying. I am dying. Each day my body continues to die just a little bit, until finally death will come. The old body will quit. If they had not been cast from the Garden of Eden, away from the tree of life, and they would have eaten of that tree, that wonderful opportunity would not come to get out of this body and into the next, into the life that has been glorified, the body that's been glorified. Please, that you look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent him forth. He drove out man, the scripture says. God made him go out. It was against man's will. They wanted to stay, but God drove him out. Man became weak. That's all that man has when we are missing the power, missing the presence of God. We are weak vessels. It's so important to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him. Sent from the Garden of Eden, from paradise. They could have run him out of the world, but instead of that, he just chased him out of the garden. He could have cast man immediately into hell, into the lake of fire, but instead of that, we're just shut out of paradise. We're going to begin with these verses of Scripture just a little bit longer before we get into the fourth chapter next time we come together. The only verses that we read today was Romans chapter 6, verse 21, and Psalms 83, 16. We'll begin with 2 Peter 2, 4 next time we come together. It's such a joy to study God's Word. It's such a joy to see and be able to spend this time together. But I'm going to ask you right now, what are you going to do about Jesus?